the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. We come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan. We are pleased now to be joined by a very special guest, and that is Kennedy Chandler. Kennedy Chandler, the number one rated point guard in the country. He committed earlier today to the University of Tennessee. He is from Briarcrest in Memphis. Kennedy, I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Ferrara. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Well, thank you for joining us. What led to you deciding to make your announcement today?
Well, you know, I talked to my family about it, and we talked about it for a while. You know, we just felt like this was the right time for me to go and make my decision.
Why Tennessee? What did you like about Tennessee and the culture?
You know, Tennessee, you know, Rick Barnes, a great head coach. Coach English has been recruiting me, and, you know, he has some great point guards that play for him. DJ Augustine, TJ Ford, TJ Ford will play of the year, so he's got some great guards that play for him and made it to the league.
Tell me about your relationship with Kim English.
You know, I got a good relationship with him. Ever since they started recruiting me, our relationship just started getting better and better by us watching film and just us calling each other on a regular basis.
Kenny, how much of an impact was it the fact that Tennessee's shown the ability to really develop guys and now start to get those guys going towards into the NBA?
You know, that's a big major factor, you know, them getting better. That's a big priority that's a big priority that I chose for me to go to Tennessee to develop and get better every day and for me to make it to the league.
Describe how real the coaches at Tennessee were with you in the process about, you know, just how hard you're going to get coached and how, you know, maybe to check your ego at the door if you want to get better at UT.
Well, you know, they said they're going to push me to be the best player I can be and for me to be a leader on the court. And they said I need a PG. And, you know, I got to start the way from coming to Tennessee to be the first one and build a national team, you know, recruit some more players.
Have you thought about the possibility of you and Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer potentially being on the court together at some point at the University of Tennessee?
Yeah, I hope so. If they don't go one and done, you know, it depends if there will be a season or they'll still go to the draft or not.
Our guest, Kennedy Chandler, commits to Tennessee earlier. Kennedy, the number one ranked point guard in the country. Kennedy, just talk about the things that you feel like you need to improve upon this upcoming high school season before you get to Tennessee.
You know, for me, going to Sunrise is something I could get better. Go to the gym every day to get better, work on my game, and just develop my game and get bigger and stronger to get ready for college.
One of the scouts that we talked to said he thinks you're a terrific penetrator and you do a great job of finding the open man. Would you consider that to be among your strengths as a point guard?
Yes, sir. That's the first thing I do. I'm looking forward to finding all my teammates open first, getting everybody involved.
What about your three-point shot? Do you feel comfortable with it, or do you think you could improve there?
I'm making more comfortable with it. That's one thing I was going to play this summer. That's one thing I've been improving on, and I want people to show that I can shoot the ball. They know I can shoot, but I want them to show that it's gotten better.
Kennedy, you mentioned leadership earlier. How natural is leadership for you? Is that something that has developed in your time playing basketball?
You know, leadership is a big role for a PG, just like a QB on the football field, and that's something that I've been working on. And me coming right now, showing the leadership by me recruiting more players to come to UT.
What do you want Tennessee fans to know about Kennedy Chandler, the person that's coming to the University of Tennessee?
That I'm going to bring energy and excitement to the Thomas Bowling Arena, and I'm looking forward to going to the Final Four and winning the national championship.
How soon do you think you can do that once you get on campus right away?
Say that again.
how soon do you think you can accomplish that? You have that kind of expectation at UT as soon as you get on campus?
Well, for me, that's one thing I'm looking forward to in college is going to the Final Four, winning a championship. So my mindset is all about winning, and that's what I like doing, and that's what I'm looking forward to doing at UT.
Our guest, Kennedy Chandler, number one rated point guard in the country, committed earlier to the University of Tennessee. Kennedy, I've seen you play. I know how great you are on the court. How good of a recruiter are you?
I think I'm doing a great job recruiting Paulo and Jabbar right now. So I think I'm a great recruiter, and I think I can bring them along to UT.
So what makes you a great recruiter?
Just the way, because most people like playing with me because I'm a great point guard and I find my teammates open. I'm just a fun guy, a fun teammate.
So you tell them that this is to them so they can score points, right?
I mean, not necessarily. You know, it's not all about me getting them open. It's about the relationship I got with them and me finding them open.
I did want to ask you this. With the coronavirus that's out there, I'm sure that limited the amount of perhaps workouts or the AAU circuit and so forth. Did you feel like, even with all that going on, that you were able to somehow improve your game during the summer?
Yes, I've been improving my game all summer, just getting better at my three-point and my floater game and basically my all-around. You know, I've had a lot of time to work out, and I've been working out twice a day and getting better.
Kennedy, talk about your relationship with a couple of Tennessee football guys, and Amari Thomas and Jabari Small, and if that played any kind of role in you coming to UT.
I mean, some people think that played a role, but, you know, I was talking to them about it. If I didn't go to UT, that would still be my brothers. But fortunately, we ended up all going to the same school, and I've known them ever since I was in second grade, me and my family. So that's just both of them my best friends, my brothers for life, and it's going to be an awesome year, and I can't wait to see them down there at UT.
I saw Ja Morant from the Grizzlies give you a shout-out. How much have you gotten a chance to talk or get to know Ja Morant?
You know, Ja Morant, that's my big brother, you know. Ever since he came down here, you know, he's been a big role model to me and a big brother, you know. His dad taught me stuff. He taught me stuff ever since he's been down here, and you know, he just a big brother to me. I call him anytime if I need any advice, him and his dad.
You mentioned in your video announcing your commitment that you will always rep your city of Memphis, but you wanted to play for your state. Talk about why that's so important for you to do those two things.
You know, just city of Memphis, you know, top Memphis and Tennessee are rivals, but, you know, I always represent, you know, Memphis, you know, no hate to Memphis, but, you know, I always represent them. I would love this city.
Kennedy Chandler is our guest, number one rated point guard in the country, committed to Tennessee. Kennedy, have you watched a lot of the NBA games in the bubble down in Orlando?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of games ever since they started watching.
So when you watch a game, do you typically watch the point guard and try to pick up what he's doing and perhaps help you as a point guard?
Can you say that one
more time? Yeah. When you watch the NBA games, do you kind of focus on the point guards and see what they're doing and say, okay, that's something I'd like to incorporate into my game?
Yes, you know, that's something I watch. My favorite player, Chris Paul, I watch Ja, Damian Leonard, and, you know, those guards I look up to and watch film on.
How about what Lillard's doing? That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, he's averaging 51 points in three games. So my boy 12 got a deal tomorrow. He got a deal tomorrow and lock him down.
Yeah, that's gonna be exciting to watch. Okay. Kennedy, thank you so much. Really do appreciate you taking the time to join us. Congratulations on your commitment to Tennessee. And we certainly look forward to covering you while you're evolved. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kennedy.
No problem. Go Vols.
Yes, sir. Kennedy Chandler, the number one rated point guard in the country, committing to Tennessee earlier today. Vince, I know that it's a great player that Tennessee's getting. Also, he talks about his ability to recruit. He could be the start of what could also be a special recruiting class for Tennessee in 2021.
No doubt. And he was with Paolo Banchero. And some have thought package deal. It's hard to say that. Just like with this friendship with, a couple of those new Tennessee Volunteers and Amari Thomas and Jabari Small, he's like, some people thought that that was a reason why, but we would have been friends regardless of where he would have went. So it's hard to say, but if that can happen, if he can bring Banchero and others on board, it could be special. But this is that young guy is the key. And Paul Biancardi mentioned it when we talked to him, Jimmy. When I asked him, what are the chances that those 3 5 stars play together in Chandler, Springer, and Johnson? And Paul Biancardi said there's a real good chance. You just never know. This doesn't automatically mean that those guys are going to be one and done. And Kennedy did mention, well, it depends on whether those guys move on. So it's an exciting thought that those three could potentially be on the court together at Tennessee. But Chandler was the key.
Yeah, and he could be like, as he talked about, sometimes when you get that quarterback in your recruiting class, he becomes a Pied Piper. Kennedy Chandler might be the Pied Piper for Tennessee in recruiting and basketball. We'll see. All right, when we come back, we'll have more. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. We come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan, the absolute August sale. Lowest prices of the year, and know that Oak Ridge Nissan is Tennessee's number one volume Nissan dealer. Folks, there's a reason why. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Heim. Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal.
99.1, The Sports Animal. Just because your workday is boring doesn't mean your radio station has to be.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Ferrar. We're at Oak Ridge Nissan, the absolute August sale with the lowest prices of the year. Check out the new Nissan Versa, the Rogue, the Altima. You won't find a better deal, and they have unbelievable trade-ins for you. Get up to $7,000 over Kelley Blue Book. So check it out, Oak Ridge Nissan. Let's go to the phones where Jim is our next caller. Jim, you're on Sports Talk.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Jim.
It's not every day we get a five-star athlete, and Kennedy Chandler sounds like the real deal, no doubt about that. But, thinking about this, you wonder what the people at Texas are thinking regarding Rick Barnes and what he's doing at Tennessee and his recruiting. And then you think about what they're thinking with what Mack Brown is doing at North Carolina, because he's having an outstanding recruiting year as well. And you wonder, and I think Steve Spurrier years ago made the comment, like, you're only good for 10 years, people get impatient, and it's time to go, something like that. And they were getting impatient at Penn State, because Joe Paterno was having some, he had about 3 or 4 years that were not good at all, and then he made a comeback. Do you think sometimes schools are just too impatient with, and of course Philip Fulmer comes up in this conversation, do you think sometimes schools are too impatient to make changes on coaches that have had success there for a while or a long time and now have hit upon some lean times, and they don't wait it out maybe as long as they should?
I do. There are a couple of examples out there that would support that. Now, you mentioned Joe Paterno, and it was just off the top of my head, 12, 15 years ago, he was struggling, and the president actually, I think, came to his house, and they were discussing, okay, it's time for you to step aside, and he said no. And he had enough cachet, he had enough clout, he had enough equity to where he carried that kind of weight. They didn't get rid of him, and then they bounced back, and then they took another turn for the worse. Bear Bryant, in 1969, 1970, he had back-to-back teams that were roughly 6-5, and there were a number of people that said, okay, games passed him by, let's get rid of Bear Bryant. He went to the wishbone, then he had the greatest 10-year run in the history of SEC football. So at that time. So I do think that it has happened. Now, in this case, I think it seems somewhat evident that if Texas had held on to Rick Barnes and to Mac Brown, they'd been better shape had they not removed them from their positions. The thing about the 10 years is interesting, too. Sometimes I think that's accurate. I don't think Alabama's ready to get rid of Nick Saban. He's been there more than 10 years.
Yeah.
I think it can kind of depend on the situation. Well, Vince, how do you see that?
Well, I think every situation is different. I don't know the length of time that Gary Pinkel was at Missouri, but I know there were people that were unhappy with him, and then they found a way in the SEC East, maybe during a downtime, to get them into the SEC title game. So you know that's not a national championship, but that's great success. So I'm sure there are other examples of guys not achieving early and some schools sticking with him and others not. So, you know, with Rick Barnes, I think there was an AD factor in there as well. Sometimes, yeah, depending on the athletic director coming or going, that could either speed up the process or give a coach more time.
Yeah, that's a really good point, the relationship the coach has with the athletic director. But it just seems kind of ironic that right now with Rick Barnes and Mac Brown, they're both former Texas coaches. And right now, Texas went all out to get, I forget his name. Who's coaching
Shaka
at Texas?
Shaka
Smart, yeah.
Yeah. He was hot. Yeah. He was the hot coach, wasn't he, the hot name?
Yes.
And, you know, it just has not turned out, you know, really well for him. And anyway, I enjoyed the interview with Kennedy Chandler. It's a terrific acquisition, and I hope he's a great recruiter. There might be more on, yeah, on the way.
Yeah,
guys,
absolutely.
Have a good afternoon, guys.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on Sports Talk.
Hey. This point guard, y'all sound like y'all are about as excited about him as you've been anybody in a while, aren't you?
He's a great point guard, number one ready point guard in the country. He's out of Memphis, so you got him from Memphis. Not only that, you got him from North Carolina, Kentucky, and Duke. That's a heck of a recruiting coup.
Right. Well, you know, I wonder how Coach Barnes is. Most things about Coach Barnes I really like a lot, but I'm amazed to me how he does recruit as well as he does. I mean, you know, he's recruiting about as well as any head coach we've ever had up there as far as, you know, a couple of years in a row. And so that's good. And you've heard me talk about that I'd rather not have a coach that's on up in his 60s, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut about that and see how things go. But listen, let me ask you this about football, and I'd be amazed if we have a season. But if we did, who are some people, I'll probably ask Ben Hood for this, who are some people that y'all might think, if they stay healthy and all that stuff, might be somebody that we hadn't talked about a lot yet, but could be somebody that could turn out to be a really good player for us in football?
Vince?
I will say that Warren Burrell would be a good candidate, and if he does, that's an area that Tennessee could use some more depth, I think, and they have some versatile pieces there. So if he becomes one of their best five, that gives you some options. I think Keyshawn Lawrence, the freshman, is going to be outstanding. But in terms of guys that were there that can make that big jump, I like Warren Burrell a lot. I know he struggled some at times after he got the starts early on in the year, but I think he's a terrific talent. Jalen McCullough is another one in that secondary that I think has a real bright future at Tennessee as a safety. Such a smart, just looks and talks the part of an all SEC type of
right.
guy. Another one is a wide receiver in Ramel Keaton. I really liked him going into last year. We didn't really see him come onto the scene in big numbers, had a big catch in the bowl game, but they didn't need him to. They had such good top-end wide receivers. They didn't have to go as deep. Now with an opportunity, and if he's put on enough weight in the offseason, I think Ramel Keaton can be a factor for this team offensively.
Right.
So those are a couple of names that come to mind, but there's more that should be better as returners, Steve.
I think Tennessee was 6-0 with McCullough at safety. I believe that's right. I tell you, a couple of others I'll throw out there that I think has a chance, and he probably needs to step up because of the position he plays. Quaveris Crouch, I think they need him at that inside linebacker spot to emerge. If not him, it needs to be J.J. Peterson, but one of them needs to step up and play well next to Henry To'o, who's a terrific player. Another guy to watch for, and I would like to see him develop into more than just a situational pass rusher, and that's Kevon Bennett. I think he's got some really good moves as a pass rusher. I think he needs to round out his game a little bit more and be more consistent, but I think he's a guy that could step up and do well this year.
Right, right. Yeah, he surprised me how well he did do as the year went on. You know, he I was surprised he did that well. Anyway, well, listen, guys, good to talk to y'all. And, you know, basketball may become the sport one of these days up here. And we'll see. But y'all be good and have a good weekend.
Thank you, Steve. You have a good weekend as well. And, Vince, I think that just you could be very good in football and basketball. I think there are a number of schools that have proven that through the years. Florida's done it. Ohio State's done it. There's no reason Tennessee can't do it. But I think there's a chance that Tennessee can get back to close to where it was. And I think the basketball team's got it rolling. So I think there's a chance that both of those could be highly successful programs for Tennessee over the next few years.
No question. And who knows if they're able to get back on the field and build off of the really good start last year. Maybe you can add Tennessee baseball to that group of these sports that are improving. I know Brian Niedermeyer gave a shout-out to Tony Vitello earlier today, and he tweeted out, "Hey, Tony Vitello, I want someone to try and find a university with a better staff relationship between their football and baseball programs, best in the entire country." And some of the other assistant coaches retweeted that, and I think part of that is Taiwan Malone, who is a baseball player and obviously a highly rated football player from up at Bergen Catholic in New Jersey, Jerry Garantano country. So two sports star, you work with a baseball program. I think football and baseball have worked together in that for sure. But, yes, basketball, maybe the direction of Kelly Harper. You want to see these sports play with the momentum that all of them seem to have right now.
You mentioned Kelly Harper. The Lady Vols have, I believe, 3 5-star commits. So that's very promising for them. So that the future certainly looks good for Kelly Harper and company. And we know the softball team has been the constant over the last, 15-plus years?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of good things going on over there, and certainly with the high-profile sports, you want to see them do well. And I think Tennessee's in great position with them, with the coaches they have, and with the recruiting that is being done by those particular staffs and those particular coaches. So, all right, when we come back, we're going to have more. A little bit later this hour, Brian Penske, the Lady Vols soccer coach, is going to join us. He certainly a setback with them announcing no NCAA championships for soccer. We'll get his take on that. I do think there was a teleconference or some type of conference call with SEC coaches, so we'll see what he's able to share with us in regard to that. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Himes. We come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan, the absolute August sale. Sports Talk 99.1, the sports animal.
This is VFL Josh Malone, and we're counting it down. It is just
43 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go
Hawks!
Well, Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Farrar. We're at Oak Ridge Nissan. Let's go to the phones where Terry's our next caller. Hello, Terry.
Hey, guys. Enjoying your show. It's been a while since I've called in, and I'm sure y'all have talked about it a lot. I just missed it. About a recruit, Harrison Bailey. I was reading an article about him the other day. Like I say, I'm not too up to date on it as of right now, but said he could possibly walk in and work his way into a starting position this year. Could you all talk on that a little bit?
I guess he could, but I think he certainly was hurt by the fact that even though he was an early enrollee, he didn't have spring practice. He hadn't had much to do in the summer as far as trying to do something to earn the job. I think it makes it a lot harder for him to become a starter. Now, Garantano have a lot to say about that. If Garantano plays well, shows a consistency that he's not shown throughout his career at Tennessee, then if he does show that consistency, it would be harder for Bailey to take over. So I think a lot of it's going to be how does Garantano play and how does Bailey progress? We don't know the answer to either one of those. But I do think it set Bailey back quite a bit by not having spring practice.
Was he a five-star coming out of high school?
Vince, he was either a high four or a low five, somewhere in that range. Do you recall for sure?
His highest was a five-star. His average is a four-star because I think two of the services had him as a four and one had him as a five. I mean, he's right there on the cut line. So just mm-hmm. depends on which one you quote. Whether it's usually it's the highest is what everyone uses.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, wasn't he ranked at one time the number one dropback quarterback coming out of high school?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They do separate them, but each service is different. So he could have been at one point.
Yeah, I mean the way they rank them now, instead of just ranking them number one quarterback, I see different recruiting stations where they have a number one running quarterback, and then you have the number one dropback quarterback. So I didn't. Apparently, they rank them like that coming out of high school, don't they?
Yeah, they do dual threat and drop back, basically, or pro style. So basically, they have two different ratings, the dual threat and then the pro style.
All right. Okay, guys, thanks a lot.
All right, Terry, we appreciate it. Thank you for calling. We're now joined again by Scott Gropp, Oak Ridge Nissan, absolute August sale. Scott, how are you?
We're still rocking. Pandemonium.
It is pandemonium, isn't it?
Yes, sir. You, that's what we do. It is our absolute August sale, folks. Lowest prices of the year. Absolute lowest prices of the year. Taking the meat off the bone, and we're giving them the bone.
Tennessee's number one volume Nissan dealer. How do you accomplish that?
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you, the math is easy here. You get more for your trade-in. Pay less for the new Nissan, you save thousands of dollars, and we found that math equation works. I mean, have you ever heard a customer, Jimmy, in all your time on the planet, say, I want to pay more for the new Nissan?
No, not yet.
Or have you ever heard a customer go, no, I want less. I want less for my trade. Can't take that much money. Have you ever heard that?
No.
Evidently the customers have, and we say that make the 10-minute drive because these other dealers over at Smoke and Mirrors Motors down the road on the Clinkston Pike or the I'll Kill You Highway or the Bill Clinton, I mean, I'm just telling you, folks, hey, bottom line is this. When you want your best deal on a new Nissan, you don't go to the number two, three, or four dealer. You go to the number one volume dealer, the Wally World of Nissan dealers, Oak Ridge Nissan.
You're talking about great deals. The Versa, the Rogue, the Altima, all are priced at great, great prices.
That's exactly right. I'm telling you, it's our absolute August sale. I'll tell you, how about Altima or Rogue? You choose number one sellers for Nissan starting at $18,588. But you got to make the 10-minute drive. I mean, we're going to be thousands less than the competition. You make the 10-minute drive, we're going to make that dream come true.
And I understand that if you sell enough cars, you can make a trip to Graceland there, can't you, Scott?
I tell you what, yeah. Folks are sending me, I'm going to Graceland. You know, I'm a, if you don't know me, I'm a big Elvis fan. And thank you very much. Are you lonesome tonight? Oh, wrong song. And listen, folks, bottom line is you make the drive. We're going to make the deal. We're going to make your dream come true. And I'll tell you what, this is the trick. We've had people leaving here in new Nissans with lower payments than when they came in here on their old sled.
Unbelievable.
I just waved my magic wand.
Pandemonium, kind of like Jailhouse Rock.
That's exactly right. Save thousands.
Hey, Scott, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you,
we
Jimmy.
Appreciate it.
Make the drive.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right. That's Scott Groff. We're at Oak Ridge Nissan, the absolute August sale. When we come back, we'll be joined by Brian Penske. He's the soccer coach for the Lady Vols. We look forward to visiting with him. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Hamm. Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Here at The Sports Animal, we never really grew up. We just learn how to act in public most of the time.
Welcome back to Sports Talk with Vince Ferrar. I'm Jimmy Hines as we come to you from the Oak Ridge Nissan, where they've got the absolute August sale. Great prices. Don't miss out. Lowest prices of the year. And by the way, all of our guests joining us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline. We're now joined by another guest on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline. That's Brian Penske, the head coach of the Tennessee Lady Vols soccer team. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jimmy. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining us, and I just wanted to get your reaction from the news of Mark Emmert announcing that there would be no NCAA championships for fall sports. Your thoughts?
I wouldn't say that it hit me like it hit the winter and spring sports, you know, 5 months ago. We kind of have feared this and wondered this for quite a while. It was kind of just becoming more and more inevitable as each of these conferences kind of went by the wayside over the last 2 weeks. You know, it was more just a formal announcement. They've got the, and I've just honestly learned about this in the last 10 days, the rule that if 50% of schools don't participate, then the NCAA championship is automatically canceled. And within the last several days, we went below that 50% threshold, and so that announcement came. And now within the league, because we are obviously a league that is still standing and hoping and wanting to play, now we're just trying to iron through that and see what our best course forward is.
So do you anticipate having an SEC championship in soccer?
I do believe... virus willing, we will have an SEC championship. The question is, will that be in the fall or will that be in the spring? The NCAA has said that they're going to continue to research the spring schedule and all the different championships that have to take place in the winter and the spring and see if they can move the fall championships to the spring. And they're going to make that decision and announcement, I believe, by next Friday or on next Friday, August 21st. And then that will kind of steer us in terms of do we still try to – because as of these last couple weeks, we've been talking about a 10-game SEC schedule. A lot of these conferences, obviously, in the sports of football and then, you know, the soccers and the volleyballs have said, you know, conference only. We've been moving to that. We haven't made that formal announcement because we were waiting on the NCAA, but that has been the lean to play in a 10-game SEC schedule this fall, followed by an SEC tournament. If they move the NCAA tournament to the spring, then we have another conversation to be had. However, and Mark Emmert, I think, alluded to this, even the possibility of a diminished field in basketball or a bubble situation in basketball. So the NCAA tournament, as we've known it in the past, is not going to be normal this year if it does in fact happen in the spring. So what we as a coaching group within the SEC right now are weighing, what do we want to do? Do we want to try and play a full SEC season and tournament this fall? Do we want to wait till the spring? Or some variation of that. And honestly, this is, while it was just a formal announcement yesterday, we weren't expecting it. We thought it was going to not come until the 19th or the 21st next week. So even though it's formal and now kind of official, we weren't expecting it. And so it's still kind of fresh in terms of, okay, what are our next steps forward?
Brian, as coaches in college soccer, do you feel like your voices are being heard and you're able to communicate what your positions and feelings are, even that you representing your student athletes? Or do you think these are just out of even the coaches' hands, that these are being made just on the top level, to where, you know, maybe they don't get a chance to hear your voice as much as you'd like?
You know, Jimmy and John had me on about a month ago or so, and I said it then, and I'll say it again. The SEC is an amazing conference with amazing leadership, and I think we're continuing to see that right now when the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 are still trying to play football. And are they going to play football? We still don't know. Do they want to play football? Obviously, we know the answer to that. And I think Commissioner Sankey's kind of mood coming out of this last week with the other conferences, we don't have to decide now, right? We can still continue to take our time with the hopes that it's going to happen, right? Let's get kids back on campus. Let's see how we do. We want to play. In our sport, right, we have pretty much weekly or biweekly Zoom sessions with representatives from the SEC as a coaching group, and then we've had one with Commissioner Sankey. He had one last night with members of volleyball, soccer, and cross country from around the league. He wanted to hear their thoughts. So, and I think right now it is they want to know what do we as a coaching group want to do. Obviously, there are factors outside of our control. However, I very much feel like, and we feel like as a coaching group, we are being heard. Now, the problem is getting 14 coaches on the same page. That can be a real challenge. You know, even, you know, the scenarios we're talking about right now. Do we want to play right now and play a 10-game season and an SEC tournament? Do we want to wait and put all of our eggs in a spring basket? Or do we want to play some competitive games this fall and then possibly some competitive games in the spring followed by an SEC tournament? And reaching a consensus on that is not easy. And it's in the same way I was out for a run with one of my assistants today and saying it is amazing that we all are dealing with this pandemic and we are all dealing with the same virus. But there are different approaches and different reactions all over the place. And you wish it wasn't that way. But it is what it is. We are where we are. And we are where we are in so many ways over the course of the, over the geography of the country, over the political landscape. And now here we are within college athletics, conference to conference. So it's challenging stuff.
Yeah, there's so many layers to it. And the last thing for me before Jimmy, we'll get back to you because we've got the top of the hour. But there's, with the spring, there could be a lot of things happening in the spring, a lot of things moving to the spring. How much consideration is there for now all these different things, all these different sports going on at the same time? What does spring look like in terms of challenges for your sport?
As challenging as it gets. I mean, you know, on the totem pole, and I just said it to our team 10 minutes ago, on the totem pole, we are number three. In the fall, winter, spring totem pole, we are number three. Winters had their championships canceled. Spring has had their championships canceled. And it might be our turn. You know, so trying to squeeze. There are 22 fall championships. That's a lot of championships. Mm-hmm. I can't name the 22 sports right now that cover the championships, But to all of a sudden, you know, squeeze that into an already very packed NCAA championship winter and spring schedule, I don't have a ton of faith in it. Might they have great intentions and want to do that? Maybe so, but that's going to be really challenging. And then you factor in the virus, right? Because we're not snapping our fingers and this thing's gone in March. So I think those are all factors in the decision and the votes that we're going to be putting forward to the ADs and the commissioner over the next week.
Brian, we have just a little bit of, over a minute left, but I wanted to ask you this question. It appears to me is that the majority of the schools that canceled soccer were from smaller schools, and that dropped you below the 50% threshold. If that's accurate, how disappointing is that, that you're kind of dictated by the smaller schools not having soccer?
You know, I think we all felt like, and, you know, I say what I did in terms of all of us being on kind of different pages and different philosophies, and I am not judging anyone. You know, this is there. You know, lots of people have died, and if conferences don't have the funds to do the testing or the support that they need to really have their kids safely on campus, and they need to make the decision that is in the best interest of their student athletes, I understand it. I support it. It's okay. Where I'm really a happy guy right now is knowing that we're in the SEC. And Commissioner Sankey and Philip Fulmer right here on our campus, they want to give our kids every opportunity they can to compete. And we just asked them, so all these different scenarios we're talking about right now with you, we put it out to our kids 10 minutes ago, and they're like, we just want to play. We want to play. We want to compete. Yeah. Right? Let's go. So I'm happy that we are still standing and that our league is going to do everything possible to allow our kids to compete.
All right. Fantastic. Hey, Brian, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you're able to compete, whether that's in the fall, in the spring, whatever it is. Hope you're able to get back out there and play, and we certainly appreciate your time.
All right, Brian. Guys. Well, thanks for having me on.
Thank you. And that is Brian Penske, head coach of the Lady Vols soccer team. Hey, when we come back, we'll have the sports fix at 6. We're also going to be joined by a former Lady Vol, Sierra Burdick, also by Steve Hamer. It'll be Hamer time, so we look forward to visiting with him as well. And I know he's excited about Tennessee getting a commit from earlier today, so we will visit with him about that. We come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan, their absolute August sale. Lowest prices of the year, great deals on the Versa, the Rogue, the Altima, and you will get a terrific deal, as always, on your trade-in. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Himes. Sports Talk, 99.1, The Sports Animal.